We're back.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you he'd goof it up.
He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a tree!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Linus Van Pelt has been telling us that story, that Christmas story, now for 56 years. Charles Schulz was the creator of Peanuts. He died in 2000, and he fought hard to keep that CNN on with CBS, the television network. They wanted to take that out, and he said, this is the whole point I made the cartoon, was for that scene. And he fought very, very hard. And if you know anything about television production and things, or radio, he fought hard to keep that 10 seconds of silence in after Linus finished telling Charlie Brown and he finally walked over. So Schulz died 21 years ago about, but he's still telling the story of Jesus. And the story has never changed because it's a real story. It's not just a myth or a legend. Somebody made something up to have nice little cute scenes at Christmas. So Linus reminds us of it every year, if you watch the cartoon. I've seen it once, every single year, at least once, since I was 2 years old. Now, I don't remember the first few viewings, but my mom said we watched it when it first came on in 1965. Jesus Christ came to earth as a gift to you and to me. And he was the gift. He still is the gift. He gave the gift of himself. And that whole peace on earth, goodwill towards men, that involves peace between God and a human. God and you. The whole peace on earth we dream about, that some people think that the Bible's talking about there, that's not going to happen until his second coming, his second advent. When he comes back the second time, and he will, he promised he would. When he comes back, he will put things the way they were supposed to be before sin came into the world and messed everything up. It's the sin that affects all of us. It affects us as individuals, as families, communities, churches, countries. The entire world is affected by sin. And it's real. And no one escapes the awful power of sin except through Jesus. Total peace on earth will happen one day. You can read the end of the Bible and find out about that. But you can have it now between you and God through Jesus. I have a present here, or a gift, and I'm going to give it to someone. Who will I give it to? Where shall I go? Oh, we have hands up. I'm going upstairs to make the upstairs people nervous because I never go up there, and they're like, oh, there's a mystery about you people up here. The downstairs people laughed harder than that. Oh, there's some good people to give gifts to. It's a pretty good gift, too. It's not just, it's not pretend. Oh, this look is different. Yeah, okay. How about you, Daryl? Would you like this gift? All right, that's my gift to you, brother.
Thank you.
Okay, yep. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. Daryl didn't have to do anything to get that gift. I gave it to him. He didn't know I was going to give it to him. And the only thing he had to do was to accept it, to receive it. And the other thing I want to point out is that I went up there. I didn't make Daryl come down to get his gift or kneel at the altar or something like that. I said, you can have this gift. And I took it to him, just as Jesus brought himself to us. Now, it's a gift, and I don't expect anything in return. I hope you enjoy it, Daryl. If it had strings, it wouldn't be a gift. If I expected something back from Daryl now, it wouldn't be a gift at all. A true gift has no strings. It has no obligation. And I want you to think of everything that I show you in Scripture and everything I say this morning in terms of receiving a gift. You're probably going to exchange gifts with friends and family or whatever you do in your Christmas traditions. So think in terms of receiving a gift. Now, everyone here fits into four categories. I know that's kind of dangerous sometimes to say you could divide people into four categories or three or two or six or whatever. I have no idea what category you belong in, and I think it's pretty fair to say that everybody could fit in this category. So only you and God are going to know what category. Only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you. So here are the four categories. You decide where you land, where you are. All right, the first category. You have chosen to follow Jesus Christ at some point in the past, and you are seeking a continual, ongoing, growing relationship with him. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm saying you're seeking the Lord in your life. Well, today, if that's you, if you fit into that category, I want you to be reminded of the incredible gift you have been given. Be reminded today. All right, second category. You made a decision to follow Christ sometime in the past, and at one time you were living for him, you were growing, but you know, now maybe it looks okay on the outside, but you know that your faith and your love for him has become stale and you're just kind of going through the motions. Well, today, if that's your category, I want to remind you of the gift you received in the past. And I hope that you will return to that gift. Because it's a gift. It was given to you. God's not going to take it back. The third category is probably the hardest one to see yourself in, especially if you're kind of in the middle of it, because it involves deception by your enemy. So here's the category. You believe that you're a follower of Jesus Christ because you repeated a prayer. Nothing wrong with repeating a prayer if somebody's helping you with prayer, but I'm talking about you repeated a prayer just to say the words, the magic words. Or you got baptized, or you attend church, or your name is on a list somewhere in this church or another church, and you try to live a good life or a pretty good life anyway, but you don't really personally know or follow Jesus. Other people may think you are. But today I want you to know, if that's your category, that the gift of true salvation is waiting for you, and the only thing you have to do is accept it. The last category, you know you've never made that decision. You're not pretending you ever did. You've never gone down that road. You've never accepted the gift. You're not pretending that you have. And today, if that's your category, I want you to know about the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And just like the first category, the only thing you have to do is receive it. It's free. So, no hands, no out loud answers. Which category would you put yourself in? I'm going to show you several verses today. Most of them are from the book of Romans. We'll take one detour out. And you could turn or tap to Romans if you'd like, or follow along on the screens in just a moment. I'm using the New Living Translation today. That'll match up on the screens. Yours may read differently. But the key verse for today, and I want you to remember and notice the word gift in this verse. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. A free gift. Now let's put that in all caps if you can, Derek, and yeah, we'll put it in red for Christmas. A free gift. You can study other religions in the world. I've done that many times. You could study other religions in the world, and every one of them has something in common. It involves you pleasing God, somehow doing the right thing so that God will look on you with favor and give you salvation or nirvana or whatever the religion promises you. Only Jesus offers you favor before you do anything, before you're even born. Before you start living for him, he offers you favor. He loves you as you are right now, whether you're following him or not. He loves you. Sin brings death in this life and the next life. And that's why God calls it the wages of sin. It's the result. It's where sin is going to take you. And sin will always end up in death of some kind. And sin brings death in this life before we experience body death. You know, when this life on the earth is over, you can experience other kinds of death. You can experience the death of a marriage or a friendship, a reputation, a church, a body. There's many kinds of death. And it brings eternal death. And that's not an easy thing to think about. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. Andy Williams, thank you. We don't want to think about death, right? I get that. But it's necessary. We need to know what the good news is or the bad news is before we can talk about the good news. It's true. There is an eternity. This is what the Bible teaches. These are not some of the easy parts of the Bible. This life ends, but you don't. Your body is going to be done, but you yourself, your soul, does not end. And you're either going to spend it with Jesus and in the eternal life that he has promised you and offers you, or you will spend it separated from God forever and the eternal death that it brings. Let's take a look at a couple more verses in the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans 3:22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. This is a vital thing to remember for people that are following Jesus or not. You're not made right with God because you are a good person. That doesn't work. Or that you're a pretty good person. Or that you're pretty good compared to most people you know around town. That's not what the Bible teaches us. You are made right with God. You're in a relationship, in other words, with God. And you're able to have the promise of eternity and spend eternity in heaven because, look at the verse again, by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's not believing, well, Jesus as a historical figure existed. It's more than that. It even goes beyond, well, I believe in God. 90-something percent of Americans will say they believe in God or a God or something like that. It's placing your life, your eternal life in the hands of one person, and that's Jesus Christ, him alone. I look at the second part of the verse. It's still up there. Anyone who wants to can place their faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter how bad you think it was. It doesn't matter who you've done it with or how many times you've done it. It doesn't matter what your background is or your name is or your standing in life, your social standing, or anything else you want to put on that list. It doesn't matter. We're all the same. It's available to all of us no matter who we are. The next verse, the very next verse drives us home. Romans 3:23. We've got a bad news, good news situation here. For all have sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Your book or your Bible may say, fall short of God's glory. So there's the bad news. Everyone has sinned. None of us can pretend, try to fool other people, and we certainly can't fool God that, oh, I've never sinned, or I haven't sinned very much. It says everyone's sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So there's the bad news. Here's the good news. If you want the gift of salvation and you don't have it or you're not sure, ask for it and you will receive it from God. Period. I want you to know that God loves you as you are right now. This isn't to get God to love you. This is to put you in a relationship with him. He knows everything about you. He knows everything you've ever said. He's known everything that you've ever done. He even knows everything that you've ever thought, which probably no other human being knows that. That's kind of discombobulating to think about, isn't it? But he still loves you, see? He still loves you, even all that other stuff aside. And he wants you to be his friend. He wants you to be in a relationship with him. He wants to give you this gift. I'm going to jump over to the book of Ephesians real quick, and I want you to see this one today because I cannot emphasize enough that salvation is a gift that cannot be earned or bought. You can't do anything to receive it except to receive it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Now, I added those caps and the red letters again because I want it to stand out. It is a gift from God. You can't take any credit for it. I can't take any credit for my salvation. It's because I received a gift that I didn't deserve. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. It's ridiculous to boast about being a Christian and pretend like, oh, I'm better than other people. It's a gift we have received. We didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. We didn't please God enough to receive it. We can't boast about our salvation. If you have it, and I hope you do, remember that it is truly a no-strings-attached gift, a real gift. So yes, once you have that gift, you're called to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, and there are standards that he has, but that's because you are saved. It's not how to be saved. And if you don't have that gift, you can. You can have it today. You can have it whenever you're ready to receive it. I can't save you. Nobody in this room can save you. Your parents, even if they took you to church for all your life, they can't save you. Your godly grandmother cannot save you. Your church attendance will not save you. Your church membership will not save you. Your ministry is not going to save you. All the good things you do or all the good things you're not supposed to do and you don't do, those things aren't going to save you. Salvation is the greatest Christmas gift you'll ever receive. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive in any season, any point in life. It's the greatest gift. Jesus is, was, and always will be God. And in his love for us and in the Father's love for people and in the Holy Spirit's power, he was born in this earth, or on this earth. He was born just like you and me, no different. The conception was a little different, but the birth wasn't. And he grew up, he was a baby and then a toddler, and then he was a little boy, and then a teenager to begin to learn his father's trade, which was carpentry. And he became a carpenter himself. And then at about age 30, he went into a public ministry, and he began to teach in ways that people had never heard before. And he established his authority by doing miracles and performing healings, impossible healings that had to only come from God. The religious people were, particularly the leaders, were upset with this. They didn't like that their power structure was being threatened. And so they hassled him, and finally in the end, they arrested him. And they put him through a mock trial. And they put him on a cross and they crucified him. They killed him in a way that was reserved for only the most hardened criminals. And yet that's the way they killed Jesus. And Jesus is the only person ever that never sinned. All the rest of us fall short, but not Jesus. So what category did you put yourself in before? Hopefully you're honest. you have it, you know you have it, you're following Jesus, great. Keep it up. I'm happy for you. Keep following Jesus. Thank him for his gift. Focus on him this Christmas season. If you're in the second category, you received it in the past, and now you know you're not walking closely with Jesus. Things have gotten a little stale. Look, I encourage you, go back and open the gift up again and renew your relationship with God through Jesus. He has not taken the gift away. In the third category, you look like it, that you have the gift of salvation, but you really don't. Today could be your day if you want it to be. And don't let perceived embarrassment hold you back. Don't let the fact that you've been coming to church for 47 years or 2 years or whatever years, or you've been involved in things, but you know you've never really had that relationship with Jesus. Don't let that hold you back because you're worried that, well, what will people think? I've served in this church. I've been going here. My name's on the membership roll. So on and so on. I know this church well enough that I think I could say with confidence, if that ended up being your testimony, that the vast majority, if not all the people in this church, would be absolutely thrilled, tears in their eyes for you, if that was your testimony. So don't let perceived embarrassment or shame, that's your enemy talking. That's not coming from the Holy Spirit. And the fourth category, you don't have it, you know you don't, you never asked for it. Look, there's no accident that you're here today. God knew you would be here. And so my question to you is, are you ready to receive it? If you are, then ask Jesus for it. And those of you that would put yourselves in category 2, 3, or 4, I promise that there are people in this room that have already started praying for you silently. And if they haven't, they just started. So you need to decide if you need to return to that gift or accept the gift for the first time. Many years ago, I would have put myself in category 3. I grew up in church, went through the motions, I was baptized, served in the youth group, and when I was a little older, I even preached a little bit. But I didn't know Jesus. I looked good on the outside. I could rattle some Bible stuff off pretty well at the time. But I had no real, like, this personal connection with God. And also, I did many terrible things in roughly a 10-year period when I turned away from him. But I didn't really know him in the first place. But then on October 1st, 1987, I was 24 years old, I accepted the gift from Jesus. And I told him I wanted him. And then that night, I finally knew him personally. I can trot out more Bible verses for you. And I'm not the only testimony in here, but I'm telling you, my experience is I was a different person on this day and another different person on this day. One this day, different on this day. My life changed permanently. I could never go back to that. That's my testimony, or a summary of it anyway. In the book of Romans, in chapter 10, you can find really the shortest summary of what it means to receive this gift. I know there's other things we need to know. We take the whole counsel of the Bible in, of course. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and this is still in the NLT, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. The next verse doesn't say, and do this, this, and this. That's it. Nothing to join, nothing to pay for, nothing to do except receive the gift, like Daryl received the gift from me. I want to look at the same verse in the NIV. It's very, very similar, but it's such an important verse to understand. I'm going to repeat it. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that declare, if you openly declare, and the NIV says if you declare. I want to break that down into two parts. When you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, you are acknowledging him for who he is. This is going way beyond, I believe in God, I believe in whatever you might believe in. It's going to the point of putting yourself under the authority of Jesus, and I'm all in with you, Jesus. I don't even know what it means, but I'm all in. And then the second part of the verse is you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that the Holy Spirit, somehow you know that the resurrection was true and is true, and that Jesus is still alive today. Both of these have the sense of like confessing the truth or saying, maybe giving testimony in court. This is what I believe. I'm going to tell the truth, and I openly declare that Jesus is Lord. I believe with all I've got that he was raised from the dead. So, are you ready? Just as I gave Daryl, my friend, a gift, and I did the work of going up there, and I didn't ask Daryl to come down here. Yeah? Jesus has done the necessary work, and it's a lot more than going upstairs and giving him a present. Jesus has done all the necessary work in order for you to find salvation. Jesus came to us. Is that not cool? Is that not the greatest news you've ever heard in your life? Jesus offers this gift of salvation to you. He's already done what is necessary. Now he offers it. Let's go back to our key verse. Started out with this, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but, there's the bad news, here's the good news, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The NLT says, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Free gift. Sometimes that's hard for us to understand because so many things that we receive have strings. You know, we're expected to kind of reciprocate. Jesus is not asking for that. He just wants you. He wants you to love him. He wants to love you back. I mentioned before that there's no magic in repeating a prayer, but I'm going to help you with a prayer if you want that kind of help. I'm not going to ask you to come up here in front of everyone. You can stay right where you are. You could keep it private for now if you want. And I know it's a little cliche to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, but it's like the only way I can think of to be kind of private so other people can be a little private for them. So if you would do that, what I'm going to do, I'll ask you to do that in a second. I'm going to ask you if you're ready to receive that gift. And if you just raise your hand, get my attention, that's all you need to do, and you can put it down. And if there's even one person, then all of us will pray a prayer. Not that you're getting resaved or anything like that, but to help the person or persons that wish to receive the free gift of salvation today. Receiving salvation entails admitting you're one of the sinners that the Bible talks about, because we're all sinners. I admit that I'm one. And believing in the name of Jesus Christ, accepting this free gift, and committing your life to him. And those are the kind of the themes I'll have in the prayer. So don't pray it if you don't mean it. I'm just helping you with some words. Or you can pray your own prayer. Doesn't matter. All right, if you would kind of help other people get private by bowing and closing your eyes and praying for others, or if you're ready to receive. I think I'm the only one looking around. I don't see anybody cheating. So if you would just get my attention, I'll do a couple sweeps. I'm not going to draw this out or manipulate. Just get my attention. I'll do a sweep downstairs and upstairs. Just raise your hand a little bit so I can see it. If this is the day you want to do this. Okay, a couple more looks. Make sure I'm not missing anyone. Okay, stay in prayer. And I encourage you, though, if it just wasn't the right time right now, that's okay. It's okay. If you're not ready, it's all right. You can talk to someone later. You can talk to me later. But I'm going to pray for all of us. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Help us to get it through our thick skulls that it's a gift. I have to be reminded of that all the time. And we thank you for this love, this incredible love that you have for us that is beyond our understanding. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there is anyone here that either needs to return to you or make that decision in the first place, that in the right time when they believe they're called and And they're ready to make that decision that they will make it. And you will put the right person in their path to help them along if they need it. We thank you for these things and pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus has done all the necessary work for you to find salvation. He has come to you. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus offers the gift of salvation to you. I want to show you one more verse this morning from Romans, and it reminds us, those of us that have the gift, what he's done for us. And it's what Linus has been telling us every year since 1965. Jesus brought peace on earth and goodwill to every person who wants the gift. Here it is, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Jesus has done it for us. I hope you'll remember that over the next few weeks, and all next year, and the next year, and the next year, but especially during Christmas season. He has given us the gift.